Jesus by night, to ask him the way of salvation and light. The Master made answer in words true and plain, he must be born again. He must be born again. He must be born again. I verily, verily say unto thee, he must be born again.
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you tuned into broadcasting in this time. We're picking up our study here on the subject of humility. And I think the time that we find ourselves in with the COVID-19 virus crisis that we have in our land, I think it's a good time for us to consider such. And the subject of humility is even a troublesome subject for us in the way that we are naturally. The flesh is nothing but prideful, which is the opposite of humility. But humility is something that we certainly need. We need to understand about and follow our Lord in. We need it in every respect. We need it as individuals. We need it in our families. We need it in our communities. We need it in our state, and we need it in our nation. And so we're looking to the Word of God to see about this subject of humility. Last time we saw that humility is of great value before God, and humility comes before honor by the Lord. And so those things are made clear by the Scripture. We ask the question, what is humility? Is it weakness? Is it weak to be humble? Is it a cowering spirit? Is it being mousy and small and oppressed? Or as we know of those that are damaged by their treatment of others, they become very withdrawn and such as that. Is that humility? Does humility lack courage? Does humility lack power? Well, last time where we left off, we saw in Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, where the Lord Jesus here says unto us, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Here the Lord says, "Come unto me, all those that labor and are heavy laden." And of course, there's many things under which we can be so labored and so burdened down, namely the need of our souls and the need of our sins to be forgiven. The Lord here speaks about a yoke. The yoke of sin and of bondage is heavy. It takes us to death and down, 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 ultimately to death and to hell. But he says his yoke is easy and his burden is light, because if as you live, you will wear a yoke and you will bear a burden. He says, learn of him. There's much to learn in learning about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a shame, but it's just we have a natural tendency to not want to learn about Jesus and not look to him. But he says, learn of me. And he says there, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And here we have about the way of our Lord Jesus when he came as a man and who he is always. He's meek. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is having power under control. Think about it. The one that created all things came and subdued his own power, subdued and brought and squelched down his own glory that he might live and be a man amongst men, yet being God the Son come in the flesh. It's a marvel. It's a mystery. It's an amazing thing. He says, for I am meek and lowly in heart. The Lord is the creator of all. The Lord knows everything. The Lord is able and capable of doing the impossible. But he didn't promote himself. He didn't flaunt himself. He dealt with teaching the people. It says so many times in the Gospels how the Lord looked on the people as sheep having no shepherd and had compassion upon them. He's meek and lowly. He didn't come in a king's household, but he came as the poorest of the poor and of the lowest of the low. He grew up in Nazareth. That nobody cared about and nobody knew about. He is meek and lowly in heart. And so here we see the defining of humility. Understand, did the Lord do miracles? He did. Did he testify and preach the word of God and spoke the words that are God's, he being God himself? Yes, he did. Did he rebuke the leadership of Israel in that day, the religious and political leadership of that day? Yes, he did. Did he have compassion upon the sinner, upon the blind, upon the maimed, upon the dead? He did. He did. He's meek, power under control, and lowly in heart. You know what Jesus did? He put everybody else first and put him last. He put God the Father first, and he put the sinner who is helpless in and of himself. He put God, the work of God, and the sinner first, and he put himself last. Our Lord Jesus is indeed humble. And he says, in him, he says, learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. I think in humility, we see here that our Lord Jesus instructs us that we can find rest. Rest in him in the salvation of our souls, and rest in him about one of the things that God esteems greatly is humility. We need to remember this whole thing and us being created and brought to life, it's not our idea. It's God's work. It's God's idea. He's the creator and we're the created, and we need to submit. We need to bow to him. In Zechariah 9:9, a prophecy about our Lord Jesus. It's referring to the time very near his crucifixion, where he rode the donkey's foal into Jerusalem. They put the palm branches out in front of him and their clothes in front of him as he came from Bethpage and Bethany, riding around the south side of the Mount of Olives, right in there to the southern gate, in the southern gate of Jerusalem, the southeastern gate there. And it says there in prophetic words in Zechariah 9:9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And so that whole thing about the triumphant entry of our Lord Jesus, it was very, very very modest, wasn't it? It was of great fanfare and great power, but yet it wasn't becoming of the creator of all and the God of all. It wasn't becoming of the Savior. Jesus there is coming to his nation to receive the fruits due God, the husbandman of his nation, and they rejected him, as he said. As he wept over Jerusalem, he said, I sent prophets unto you. I sent the word unto you. This is the day of your visitation. You wouldn't receive it. And he said, how many times would I gather to get together? But ye would not. He came lowly, because that was the station that he took. And he rode upon this donkey's foal. It was glorious. They're shouting Hosanna all at the same time. It's glorious and marvelous, and then all at the same time, it's lowly and so meek. A grown man riding on the colt of a donkey. It's just he came meek and lowly. He's a man of sorrows and indeed acquainted with grief. Brother Paul, in the book of Acts, as he speaks about his ministry, he speaks of humility. In Acts chapter 20, verses 17 through 21, he gathers the elders of Ephesus to Miletus, and he's warning them. He's instructing them as he's on his way to Jerusalem. there before the feast day, I believe before the Passover. And he says here, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus, Acts 20:17, and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know that from the first day I came into Asia, that is Asia Minor, modern day Turkey, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly, and that from house to house, and testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul, as he prepares the brethren at Ephesus, meeting them there at Miletus on his way back to Jerusalem, he tells them about the entire focus of his ministry. His ministry has been this testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ to all men, to the Jews and to the Greeks, of repentance towards God and faith to our Lord Jesus Christ. And what's he say earlier before verse 21? He kept back nothing. He gave of himself, he gave of his time, he gave of his possessions. He gave everything, going house to house to tell them the truth and to tell them the word of God. And he endured things, tears, temptations, the Jews after him to kill him so many times. And what is this showing? He served the Lord with all humility of mind. You know what he did? You know what Paul did? As he tells about humility here, he put the calling of the Lord first. He put the people that he was sent to first, and he put himself last. Humility of mind. Was he a knowledgeable fellow? Yes. Was he versed in the Word of God? Yes. Did he know many things about the Scripture and that? Yes, he did. But he didn't push himself upon anyone, but he preached and told the truth. He told the truth unto sinners, unto the people there at Ephesus, that idolatrous, wicked city. And he witnessed to them of Christ. And he witnessed, repent towards God and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if you're under the hearing of my voice, that's what you need. If you're not saved, if you haven't known the free pardon of sins and forgiveness of sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, you need to repent unto God and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Apostle Paul testified. And as he worked, he served the Lord with all humility of mind. That's the word that we bring unto you. You need to repent before God. You're a guilty, wicked sinner. And you have no help and no hope without the salvation that is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Son came into the earth and became a man that he might fulfill the gospel, his death, his burial, his resurrection, in a substitutionary way for sinners like you and me. I pray that you would see and believe and trust in him, that you would see your need, that you're guilty before God, the damnation of your sin is coming to you. And you need a Savior, and Jesus is the only one. And we proclaim him unto you, as Paul did, repent towards God. You're guilty before God. Oh, it's not talking about itemizing your sins in any way and listing out what you have done. You may be so convicted to do so, but understand you've sinned against God in ways you don't even know. But to become guilty before God, that's the point. To admit and before God with no ifs, ands, or buts that you are guilty of sinning and transgressing his law and his righteousness, his holiness, and believe and trust in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died, that he was buried, and that he rose again, that he shed his precious blood for you, that a sinner like you would be forgiven. May the Lord bless your heart with the truth of the gospel of our Lord. I see our time has passed for now. Indeed, may the Lord bless you with the word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Reel Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954. By email at obchurch@gmail.com or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.